This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the grain markets for Monday, May 13th. Well, there's a lot to talk about in the grain space. We've got the crop report from Friday. We've got weather issues going on, and we've got the World FOB offers summary from last week. So let's dig right into it. So first of all, on Friday, markets closed strongly higher, led by wheat. Chicago was up 26, Kansas City up 21, Minneapolis up 16, and that pretty much accounted for much of the increase for the week. Chicago wheat was up 41 for the week, Kansas City up 23, Minneapolis up 6. So actually, Minneapolis was trending lower for the week, and Friday's big move up brought it into positive territory. It was a similar situation for corn, where we were up 13 on Friday and up 10 on the week. Soybeans were up 10 on Friday and up 4 on the week. So many of these markets actually were brought into positive territory for the week just on Friday's price action. And of course, much of that was based on the crop report, where USDA gave us a first look at the new crop numbers. So let's dig into that as well. For 2024 wheat production, all wheat at 1.858 billion bushels. That was down 26 million from the average estimate and up 46 million over last year. All winter wheat at 1.278 billion bushels was down 33 from the estimate, but up 30 from a year ago. Hard red winter wheat, 705 million bushels. That's up 16 over the estimate and up 104 over last year. Soft red at 344 million bushels was down 60 from the estimate and down 105 from last year. White wheat at 229 million, that was up 17 million from the average estimate and up 31 million over last year. So corn and soybean production for 2024, we had corn at 14.86 billion bushels. That was down 27 million from the estimate, but down 482 million from a year ago. Soybean production at 4.45 billion bushels was up 10 million over the estimate and up 285 million over a year ago. So the carryout for this coming year, they're estimating corn at 2.102 billion bushels. That's up 80 million over this past year. Soybeans at 445 million bushels is up 105 over last year. And wheat at 766 million bushels is up 78 million over last year. So we are seeing expanding carryout, which does create somewhat of an overall check on this upswing that we've had. Old crop ending stocks, just some minor changes for corn. They lowered them 100 million bushels to 2.02 billion. That was on an increase in the crush and also exports. They left soybeans unchanged. And for wheat, at 688 million bushels for this marketing year that's ending here in just a couple weeks, that was down 10 million, mostly on an increase in exports. For world numbers, they're finally starting to shave down corn production out of Brazil and Argentina. They took them both down 2 million tons. They've got Argentina at 53 million and Brazil at 122 million. In wheat, they left old crop pretty much unchanged. For new crop, we are starting to see some notable differences. For Canada, new crop estimated at 34 million tons. That's up 2 from last year. European Union at 132 is down 2. Brazil at 9.5 is up 1.5 million. For China, 140 million tons would be up 3.5 million tons over this past year. For India, at 114 million tons is up 3.5 million over this past year. In Russia, they're taking it down 3.5 million tons to 88 million. In Kazakhstan, they're up 2.5 at 14.5. In Ukraine, they're down 2 at 21. So you're seeing a net loss out of the Black Sea, primarily due to Russia. Now, USDA is taking Russia's production down mostly because the previous year was such a huge crop year and had excellent yields. We are looking at some weather issues that are developing in the Black Sea. We've got the dryness that has been pervasive over the last couple months. It's starting to shrink a little bit with these longer range forecasts, but it's still there. And then you've got some frosts and freezes that have affected mostly the northern regions. We don't see it coming down into that southern region of Russia, which is where their exportable supplies come from. But it is just north of that. And if you're going to see some damage going on there that can't be replanted to spring wheat, they might start to pull some of that southern region wheat up into the central and northern part. It's unlikely that that would happen, but they could. And so we're watching that. It does appear that tonight they're looking at some potential frost again in that region. Most of the affected crops have been rapeseed, sugar beets, and there's some winter wheat, but that winter wheat apparently could be reseeded to spring wheat. So you would see some yield loss from that, but it's not a complete disaster going on just yet. But Russia definitely has had some issues coming into this year. You know, they've had three bumper crops in a row. Last fall, they looked excellent. They had great moisture. So their subsoil is still okay, but topsoil definitely is dry. And again, these forecasts, they've been calling for rain in the southern region for about a week now, and it's still in the forecast. It's being brought up into the short range. And again, in that longer range, when you get into the 6 to 10 day, they are still calling for more widespread rains to come into that southern region. Now, these are going to be very important because that's going to take you deep into late May, and you're going to want to see the rains starting to come into Russia by late May, and especially into early June, or this market takes a complete another leg up. Because, of course, Russia is critical to the wheat market because it's the world's largest exporter. And again, you've got big production from the previous years. You've got big carryout for Russia. That would likely prevent the market from completely blowing the lid off if you had a full-blown weather issue in Russia. But still, just the probability that you could have a notable drop in production, which would clearly cut into their export capacity, is definitely supporting this market. We've had some weather issues here in the United States, primarily in the western central plains, but that dry region is shrinking as well. And we are slated to get some pretty decent rains, even stretching into that far western area of Kansas. Kind of running out of time for Texas and Oklahoma. You know, we're going to be kicking off the harvest season on Memorial Day, so that's not that far away. But we still could have some time to shore up the crop in Kansas. And it looks like the rains are going to at least prevent any further deterioration in the crop there. And as you get into central Kansas, especially south central Kansas, where the bulk of, you know, the best yields are, they've had some very good rains. So you could see big yields coming out of that region, really helping to offset some of the losses in the west. The further north you go, the better it gets. Nebraska sitting very nicely, South Dakota pretty well, North Dakota, Montana. They've had much above normal rainfall for this spring. And that sets not only the winter wheat up to be in very good shape, but spring wheat as well. Might see some planting delays, but at this point, that's not an issue. So I think number one, if you're a spring wheat producer, Minneapolis has been carried along by the issues in Kansas and Russia, by the winter wheat markets. This presents a unique opportunity, especially with all the rain they've been getting in the Northern Plains and the Canadian prairies, that you could be looking at a pretty big spring wheat crop coming in, and yet your prices are rallying. The other thing with wheat is usually right around the May crop report is a very strong seasonal tendency to put in a high, and we have indeed been doing that. So here we are, we've got bullish fundamentals, they've been driving the market, they're still out there, and it still could be an issue if you don't get the rains in Russia. That's a pretty big if, especially when there is some rain in the forecast. So I think it's just prudent to be locking in some sales here, especially if you're a spring wheat guy, and even a winter wheat guy, that the wheat market is rallying into that normal seasonal pattern, which tends to top right in this window. Yeah, the fundamentals are still strong. What if it doesn't rain in Russia or Ukraine and the market does take another leg up? Well, you could replace those sales with some call options. Just get some cheap out of the monies in case the market takes a blow off. You would at least have something in position. But it's hard to let this rally go by. And I think that it's just a prudent thing to do, considering the good run that we've had, the seasonal timing. All of that plays into why the market's been strong. But again, you do have harvest just around the corner. And I think it's going to be tough to rally this market during harvest, especially when we see the rains coming into the Central Plains kind of shoring up that Kansas crop. So that's, you know, the crop report giving us a snapshot of where we are, what USDA expects for this year. You know, the weather is okay. You know, it's, again, it's kind of keeping things in check because you do have problems as we sit here right now, but the forecast would suggest that that's going to be relieved here just around the corner. But if we were to take another leg up in wheat, I think you could still see Kansas City before it runs into major resistance, which would be around 750 on the July contract. That's about another 75-ish cents from where we are here. In Chicago wheat, the target would be more around $7. That's only about 35 cents from where we are here. And in Minneapolis, we'd be looking at around 755 to 760, which is about 35 to 40 cents from where we are here before you run into some pretty major resistance. So it's not that far away. And I think that, you know, the market could do that, but it's, if we get that, that's definitely a selling point, I think. But it's just, I'm concerned about the timing of all this. There's so many times where the market's rallying strong into that May 10th time window, and then it just runs out of gas. And then you get into the harvest, and all of a sudden, you just got a completely different picture on your hands. Now, let's take a look at the world FOB offers. Everything's higher in wheat. For the United States, out of the Gulf, at soft red winter wheat, we're up 10 at 255. Hard red winter wheat up 7 at 282. Ukraine was up 10 at 215. Russia up 5 at 220. Romania up 10 at 235. France up 24 at 252. Argentina up 25 at 270. In corn, not so much energy there. At the Gulf, we've got U.S. quoted at $200 a ton. That's down 3. Off the PNW, we're down 5 at 225. Ukraine was up 5 at 190. Argentina up 5 at 200. Brazil was up 5 at 220. In soybeans, kind of flat there too. Out of the Gulf, we're at 465. That's unchanged. Argentina down 5 at 440. Brazil was up 5 at 455. And it's worth noting, you know, kind of getting back to weather in South America, we're still looking at torrential rains coming across Brazil, widespread flooding. I mean, that whatever's left in soybeans, whatever's left in the field, probably is not going to come out of the field, I think, at this point. Quality, at best, quality will be severely hurt. And I think there's just growing chance that they're just not going to get it. So you're probably looking around 3 to 4 million tons of soybeans that are going to be lost out of Brazil. It's notable, but it's not a game changer for the broader world space, especially looking at bigger production coming out of the United States. For wheat, again, world offers are higher across the board, especially in France and Argentina. Russia was the laggard, only up 5, but they've been pretty reluctant to follow this rally. Their cash offers have stayed quite low. Everybody else is kind of being lifted up by this higher run here on the futures market, except Russia. They clearly aren't too worried about their wheat crop, and they want to move as much wheat as they can. And they're succeeding at that. They've come back to being the world's cheapest offer. But I would think at some point they're going to take a look. You know, if the weather stays poor for them, they're going to have to make some adjustments fairly quickly. The futures are responding to the weather problems going on in Russia, but it appears their cash FOB offers aren't yet quite at this point. So if you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.